Remember what I read you on the coming single global currency about the depository trust company being worth $23 trillion, and that it was kind of a suspicion of mine that this $700 billion was just a public cover, but in the bill authorizing the Fed to go ahead and loan money out. Vast sums of money. And they have loaned out, guess how much money? $2 trillion. See, and it is true. They could monetize, or that is, they could use the depository trust company stocks that they hold there as collateral to loan on. Plus, you tie in the IMF with that, and the IMF now is going to issue its own currency. Now, I don't know if that is just digital or if they're going to print it. I saw one report they're going to issue, and I saw another report they are going to print. So the United States has the biggest ownership in there, of course, then subject to the Federal Reserve Bank. So Bloomberg, plus others, are now asking the Federal Reserve to tell us, who did you loan to and under what terms? So here's from the GATA, Gold Antitrust Action Committee. Fed defies transparency aim in refusal to identify bank loans. The Federal Reserve is refusing to identify recipients of almost $2 trillion in emergency loans from American taxpayers or the troubled assets the central bank is accepting as collateral. So if they take these toxic loans and say, you know, they're worth 15 cents on the dollar, and the Fed say, oh, wonderful, we will lend you 50 cents on the dollar for them. Well, hey, who would not give them to the Fed to loan on? I saw a special on CNBC where they were interviewing Hovde, H-O-V-D-E. There's such a thing as a Hovde bank, and his name was David Hovde. And he said, their bank is in good shape. They have plenty of reserves. They're loaning money because they never did Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans. And he said all of these problems could be solved in the market. Just like Newt Gingrich has said and others many, many times, all they have to do is lift the Sarbanes requirement on how you assess your assets. Because that was put in after Enron problem. And what happened was they said when you have bad loans on the books or you have bad assets on the books, you've got to downgrade all your assets to the level of those bad loans or assets. Well, then, of course, they don't have any assets. They can't go out and borrow money. And it's been said for what? The last what, Mom? 5 months? Get rid of Sarbanes? At least 5 months. Yeah, so it's been more than 5 months. They knew it was a bad bill from the beginning, so, you know, why don't they do it? Because they're into something bigger, which I'll talk about here in just a minute. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben S. Bernanke and Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson said in September that they would comply with congressional demands for transparency in a $700 billion bailout of the banking system. But when I read to you what the main outline of it was, one of the features, if you'll recall, was to do what? Yeah, make them accountable to no one. That's one. Bernanke didn't have to report to anyone. And Paulson didn't have to report to anyone. They raised the debt limit for the government to over $11 trillion. And it grew from the three pages that I read here on monetary dictatorship to 150 pages, and I don't think it took them any more than about 10 minutes to run it from Congress to the White House for Bush to sign. I'm wrong, it was 480 pages. And like they always say, the devil's in the details and the devil's behind this, so guess what's in the details? Okay. 2 months later, as the Fed lends far more than that in separate rescue programs that didn't require approval by Congress, America has no idea where their money is going or what securities the banks are pledging in return. The collateral is not being adequately disclosed, and this is a big problem, said Dan Fuss, chairman of Boston-based Lomas Salis and Company, where he co-manages $17 billion in bonds. In a liquid market, this wouldn't matter, but we're not. The market is very nervous and very thin. Bloomberg News has requested details of the Fed lending under the U.S. Freedom of Information Act and filed a federal lawsuit November 7th seeking full disclosure. One little catch. Freedom of Information Act pertains to federal agencies, and they're not a federal agency. And all of the documents they want are in New York. The Fed made loans under the terms of 11 programs, 8 of them created in the past 15 months because they were planning this all along. In the midst of the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression. It's your money, it's not the Fed's money, said billionaire Ted Frostman, senior partner of Frostman, Little & Company in New York. Of course there should be transparency, he said. Federal Reserve spokeswoman Michelle Smith declined to comment on the loans or the Bloomberg lawsuit. The Treasury spokesman, Michael Davis, didn't respond to a phone call and email seeking comment. The Fed's lending is significant because the central bank has stepped into a rescue role that was also the purpose of the $700 billion troubled asset relief program, which they call a TARP. So if you hear him on the news say the TARP, that's what it is. The Fed lending topped $2 trillion for the first time last week and has risen by 140% or $1.172 trillion in 7 weeks since the Fed governors relaxed the collateral standards on September 14th. The difference includes a $788 billion increase in loans to banks through the Fed, and $474 billion in other lending, mostly through the central bank's purchase of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac bonds. So there's big-time hanky-panky going on. So this is something. I tell you, this is really something. Also, that David Hovde, he made a very, very interesting comment. He said that all of this could be solved in the market. Didn't have to do any of this. Now, there's something else going on, which I don't have it with me, but I can kind of paraphrase it for you because I've read it a couple of times. The meeting that starts today in Washington, D.C., of the 20 leading countries in the world meeting to solve the banking crisis, they represent 75% of the world's population, 90% of the world's global trading. So they're there for a reason. They're not there to drink tea and give toasts. They're there for business. And remember what I gave a couple of weeks ago, the coming single global currency? I said, watch and see what they're there for. That's what they are there for. First, they have to set down the rules. They all agreed to abide by. So don't be deceived by what President Bush has said, that, you know, getting a global currency, fat chance. That means fat chance during the remaining part of his term. But Obama is going to glom on to it right away because the bankers are going to tell him, you do this or we go under. So that's where we are with it. See? Now, what these countries are going to do, and I read another article here, just scanned it, concerning gold. The Russians have 500 tons of gold in their vault. notes. Currently, the Chinese are buying gold like it's going out of style or going out of existence. So what these countries are going to do, there are two things that are going to happen. Because the Treasury now is in special seminar sessions, those who work in the bureaucracy of the Treasury, which is Sharia law and financing. Because who holds so much of the dollars? The Arabs. So they are demanding a restructuring of the banking system to reflect Sharia law. So you see, there's a lot more than meets the eye. Don't believe what they tell you on television. Because what I'm telling you today, they won't announce until 6, 8, 9 months down the road. Because there are so many trillions of American dollars around the world, over 300 trillion, not counting the papers and mortgages government entity loan papers that they have sent out, or the state bonds that they have, or the city bonds that they have. I have no way to make any kind of guess, but just trying to put enough figures together, there is probably, well, over $1 billion in debt owed by various people to various banks. And if the dollar collapses, all the value goes to nothing. Well, my internal mental debate is which is going to come first. The Amero question was, well, there won't be the Amero first. There may not. Because the euro turned out to be really, really, really weak. When it came time for the euro to pick up being the international currency of trade, it failed. Couldn't match a candle to the dollar. So this whole thing that the euro is going to be the greatest thing on earth, so much propaganda, it has lost 40% of its value in relationship to the dollar in 2 months. So that's a lot. And the pound has gone down about 30%. The pound was 208. In other words, in order for you to buy a pound, it would have cost you $2.08 like 4 months ago. Today, you can get it for $1.46. The Canadian currency was on par with the dollar for a while. Now it's back to about 85%. The Australian dollar was up in the 90s, 90% relationship to the dollar. It's back down to 63%. See? So there's big time troubles everywhere. Trade-wise, in the long run, that'll make our products more expensive. But for the time being, it keeps a run on the dollar. And what they are doing, we'll just add in here, they are manipulating the paper price of gold down by banks swapping trades back and forth and back and forth to force everyone into U.S. Treasury certificates. And if you watch what the interest rate is, the one-month T-bills gives you must pay for $100 worth of one-month T-bills, you must pay $103, plus your interest rate is only 0.14%. So they're forcing them into it. They don't want them into gold, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Question is, what is the status of our gold in Fort Knox? You ought to be a worm and drill into it and find out, because no one knows. Every release of where is the gold in Fort Knox, and I watch several programs, what do? They show you pictures from the 1950s when we held most of the world's gold. There are tons and tons and tons of it stored away in New York City. So where is the gold? That's not the only question. Who now owns it? Now, here's what they are probably going to discuss, because all the countries are not going to be holding worthless notes from the U.S. government or U.S. states, U.S. cities, or mortgages. So here's what they are going to discuss. This is the report that I read. They will discuss monetizing with gold backing between 10 and 50% gold. If they monetize it at the current rate, say $800 an ounce, and they go 10% monetizing, gold will jump up to nearly $2,300 an ounce. If they go 20%, it will be double that. If they go 50%, gold will be $55,000 an ounce. Now you might think, well, then we get a new currency, 12 to 1. But remember this, when you look at the 1, what is left in your bank account or what is left in your savings account or what is left in your IRA will be close to zero. So how much are you going to get? See? If you have some gold in your house or you own it or have it locked away, the worst place in the world to have gold is in a bank safety deposit vault. Okay. And to compound the worstness of that, if you have gold bars, that's gold bullion. They can confiscate that. If you have Canadian maple leaves, those are bullion coins, they can confiscate that. If you have South African rands, those are bullion gold coins, they can confiscate that. But all of the rich people have left themselves two outs on a confiscation to try and have enough money so they can monetize the debt and ensure the rest of the world that they're not going to go broke with us. Now, I don't know if they can do it or how far it will go or what they will agree to or how soon it will come out. But they have left excluded from any confiscation or required presentation of gold to the government. They've excluded numismatic coins, in other words, collector's coins, because that's what the rich people hold on to. And they have excluded silver. When they raise it up that high, people are going to sell, and then they'll get all the rest of the gold that they want. That's true. That's true. See? Okay. Now, so the long and the short of it is, it's not time to throw your gold in the street. That's at the beginning of the tribulation. Okay, we're not here yet. We have a lot of other things to go through before we get there. But the long and the short of it is, if you have gold, you will have something of value back. If you have bank accounts, you may end up with close to zero. So you need to keep that in mind. As far as silver, you can't buy it anywhere because the U.S. Mint stopped minting the silver dollars. They stopped that about 4 months ago and said, well, we're not going to mint any more silver dollars until 2009. Yep, China's also buying silver. Okay, so that's what you have. That's where we're going on this. Now, a couple of other news items. Oh, here's another thing that may blow it all away, which is this. Remember how I explained to you in buying and selling stocks, you only get an electronic verification that you are, in fact, the beneficiary owner. You are not the legal owner or holder. Okay? Same way with a paper gold assets. The COMEX has been shorting gold to keep the price down. Now, COMEX is the commodities exchange. And they are pushing, I don't know who's pushing for it, but they are pushing for about the middle of December to require that everyone who shorts on gold be holding the physical gold first. And if they do that, gold is going to go out of sight. You don't have to wait for the 20-nation agreement. Now, if it does that and you have some gold and silver, watch your P's and Q's. And then what you ought to be able to do, if you have debt, cash in what you need to pay off your debt. If you owe against your house, pay down as much as you can. Okay? That's where that's going to come in handy, because if you on paper make double or triple, see, say if you have 30,000 in gold and you make triple, you have almost 100,000. You have 90,000. All right, if you owe 100,000 on your house, you can pay that down to 10,000. So what we are seeing right now is a deflationary stagflation. Then that's going to level out. And after all of these massive amounts of dollars that the Fed has been loaning out to everyone circulates all around, we're going to get into hyperinflation. Remember, you've seen what happened to the old Weimar Republic. They had to pay him at 10, 2, and 4, and they ended up in at the end run having to just restamp the notes, you know, from 5 francs to 100 marks, rather, 100 marks to 1,000 marks, 1,000 marks to 10,000, 10,000 to a million, million to a billion. And everything blew apart at that time, and Hitler came in as a champion and said, we're just going to scrap the whole thing and start all over. So we're right at that point on a worldwide basis again. I don't know exactly what transpired, but I do know he had all the big German banks behind him. And remember, Hitler was the second coming of Christ to the Germans. He stopped inflation, got everybody working, had a youth corps. Now, I want you to think how similar this sounds according to some of the plans that Obama has, you see. We're in deep trouble with him as president. And there's one thing that is going to be a delight. Since they bashed Bush for 8 years, it's going to be a nice twist of things to be able to blame Obama for all he does wrong. And we will see if the propagandist media will expose him as well. All right. Subject to pastors, pastor to presidents, replaced by gay bishop. In other words, advice from pastors to presidents is replaced by a gay bishop. A conservative Christian activist says it's a sad omen for the Obama administration in the United States that Barack Obama has been seeking guidance from the Episcopal Church's first openly homosexual bishop, who recently married. The Times of London reports that the president-elect sought out New Hampshire homosexual Bishop Vicky Jean, two women's names, Robinson, for advice 3 times during his presidential campaign. See, the truth is, they were able to do away with the axiom that you are known by the company you keep. Robinson's ordination in the Episcopal Church caused a deep rift within the Anglican community, and was reportedly sought out by Obama to discuss what it feels like to be first. Robinson notes in his 3 private conversations, Obama voiced his support for equal civil rights for homosexuals and described the election as a religious experience. Peter LaBarbera, president of the Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, believes Obama's consultations with Robinson show the true tenor of his upcoming administration. It looks like Billy Graham, who's 90 and near death, I might add, has been replaced by a gay bishop. We are moving to, perhaps, our first anti-Christian president. It's beyond post-Christian. Gene Robinson advocates homosexuality as part of the Christian experience, he explains. Now, Bible-believing Christians cannot accept that. Homosexual practice is sinful, as taught by the Scriptures. This man, Obama, pretends to be faithful to Christianity, even as he works very hard to undermine it. Well, that's the way you do. You don't come out and say, I'm your enemy, I'm going to shoot you. You know, you say, I'm your friend, and slowly poison him to death by giving him some of your wonderful cookies that taste so good. Uh-oh, he died. Isn't that a shame? Okay. LaBarber suggests Robinson may possibly replace Jeremiah Wright as one of Obama's main spiritual advisors. Won't that set the homosexual world on fire in support for Obama? See? Which is probably far greater than the anti-right participants. All right, let me read one more here. I'm going to keep this and go online and check that out. Okay. World asked to help craft online charter, for religious harmony. Now, I want you to think of this. You might go online and do a Google search. Remember Tony Blair, the Prime Minister of England? Right after he stepped down, guess where he went? He went to Rome and was baptized by the Pope himself. And was asked by the Pope to help bring religious harmony to the world. So he set up a brand new worldwide foundation for that very purpose. So you see, all the things we've talked about for years and years and years and years and years are right on the threshold. If they're not on the threshold, they're standing on the porch. And if they're not standing on the porch, they're surrounding the house. Hollywood and tech elite craft online harmony for online charter for harmony among all religions. A website launched Friday with the backing of technology industry and Hollywood elite urges people worldwide to help craft a framework for harmony between all religions. So you see, don't think that anyone who really preaches the true gospel is going to have a ghost of a chance of ever getting on any public communication places except the internet. And that's why we've got to get church at home going, because they're driving all Christians into their homes, and the biggest fault lies with the Protestant and Catholic leaders. The Protestants do it because they hate God's law. They're driving people away. And the Catholics do it because they want to do away with Protestantism. The atheists want to do it to get rid of all religion. And now here come these people, because human beings are basically religious by nature, saying, well, let's have one religion and we'll all get along, so we'll reduce it to the lowest common denominator. What was it? 10, 12 years ago, I gave sermons on the annotated world scriptures, a little bit from the Bible, a little bit from the Quran, a little bit from the Bhagwana thing of the Hindus, a little bit from the Buddhist, and a little bit from the animist, and put it all together with all their nice-sounding philosophies, and voila. Okay. Okay, Charter for Compassion, that's it. Project on the Internet, and it's charterforcompassion.org, springs from a wish granted this year to religious scholar Karen Armstrong at a premier technology entertainment design, and that is within an acronym, TED, conference in California. Notice who they include. TEDizens, that is those participants, include Google founder Larry Page, Sergey Brin, along with other internet icons, as well as celebrities such as Forrest Whitaker and Carmen Diaz. Wishes granted at TED Envision, ways to better the world and to come to a promise that TEDizens will lend their clout and capacity to making them come true. Now you've got all this young population that doesn't believe in anything. So now you come out with a brand new emotional religion that appeals to everybody, and you can have rock music and rock bands, and you can have great experiences. You can have all the sex you want, whether homosexual, heterosexual, whatever you want. Adultery is old and old-fashioned. And you can even have pedophile if you just don't broadcast it abroad. And all of this will be part of what they will promote, because that's Hollywood. Now, the comment was made that the Protestants have a lot of praise music, sometimes 40 minutes in an hour and a half session. And they project the up on the screen the words with the bouncing ball, which is perfect to hypnotize people. And it's even taking hold in the churches of God. And the former Worldwide Church of God, whether that it's its name or not, does it all the time. And that's how you get rid of God. What you do is this. You bring it down to, we're caring. We love you. What do you think would help you in church? Instead of saying, God says repent and quit breaking the commandments of God. See? Oh, let's all come and get along together. Now, if you don't agree with that, you're mean. You're evil. You are a religious bigot. As I've talked about in controlling the mind, you have to guard what goes into your mind. They're controlling you everywhere you go by music in every store. And all of the big stores have no say-so over it because it's piped in from the corporate headquarters into all stores at all times. I've already covered that in number 2 on controlling the mind. Yeah, and all the large corporations are endorsing it, and I'll tell you why. Because the militant homosexuals, they're not gay, they are miserable people. The militant homosexuals, just this week, back in Ohio, had all their people, men and women, dress up like they're coming to Sunday church in this big mega church back in Ohio. And at a given time, they all stood up, and shouted and screamed and stood on the chairs and ran around and pushed the people and it knocked down an old woman. And it was really something. See, they are because of the vote against homosexual marriage. So that's why a lot of the corporations are doing it. They don't want to have homosexuals come into McDonald's and plaster it all up with manure and stand there and cause a riot. See? Now, this may not be pleasant to talk about, but this is what happened. All right, let me finish this. Wishes granted at TED, Technology Entertainment Design Conference in California, envision ways to better the world to come with a promise that TEDisons will lend their clout and capacity to making them come true. Armstrong's wish is to combine universal principles of respect and compassion into a charter based upon a golden rule she believes is at the core of every major religion. The golden rule essentially calls on all people to do unto others as they would have done unto them. By what standard? The chief task of our time is to build a global society where people of all persuasions can live together in peace and harmony. Hear that word again, global. If we do not achieve this, it's unlikely that we will have a viable world to hand on to the next generation, always a crisis. Charter for Compassion invites people from all faiths, nationalities, languages, and backgrounds to help draft statements of principles and actions that should be taken. First one will be silence all the Christians. Let's come to Revelation 11 because I want to show you a prophecy which is related to Jerusalem, but Jerusalem being typical of the whole world in this particular case, whether it will at that time be the capital of the world remains to be seen. But it tells us what the government and what the religion will be like. Revelation 11 and verse 8 talks of the two witnesses. And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, you read in the Bible about Sodom and Egypt. Whenever the society gets to that point, that's when God intervenes with his power. And that's why he's going to send the two witnesses. And as I've said before, they're not going to be anybody from the church. They're going to be the governor of Judea and the coming priest at the temple in Jerusalem. That's who it's going to be. Jews will never listen to Goyim. All right, that's the end of news and economics. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.